Hello, welcome to today's worship stream. I'm Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. We are a diverse group of people that seeks to know Jesus and to make Him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagement, all out of the compelling love of God that Jesus Christ shares with us. And by the power of His Spirit, you are welcome. If you have any prayer needs or prayer requests, please do not hesitate to share them with us. We would love to pray with and for you. The address for sending your prayer request is on the screen. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear your comments as well. Don't hesitate to share those. I hope that you are taking precautions as we go through a cold and freezing snap here in the Dallas area and most of Texas, as a matter of fact. And I pray you are not only taking good care of yourselves, but also checking on others, your neighbors and so on, especially the elderly. Make sure that everyone is okay. During this Black History Month, it is a good opportunity for us to discuss, to learn, and to reaffirm the truth of God about our diversity, our reconciliation, unity, and love in Jesus Christ. As a church, we are having a series of truth and life conversations about diversity and reconciliation. And we're doing this throughout this month on Zoom, sharing candid, frank, and meaningful conversations about who we are, about the Black experience and contributions, our reconciliation, unity, and freedom, our identity and love that's already abundantly available to us through Jesus Christ. And we are using the opportunity to discuss and learn, and I reaffirm the truth of God, of who and whose we are, no matter what background we come from. Whose and who we are in Christ Jesus. And that is very important. Last time, I talked about the truth that loving relationships is the main thing of life. Having loving relationships with God and with one another in Christ Jesus is the main thing of life. And it is what Jesus is about. Today, I want to share with you the importance of listening to Jesus. Having Jesus as the most important voice and influencer in your life. And we'll talk some more about that during the message today. Right now, speaking specifically to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters, a heartfelt thank you for your generous financial donations for the gospel effort that we are engaged in. For those of you out there who feel moved to join in supporting our gospel effort, you can see on the screen some of the ways that you can do so. Your financial donations are tax deductible, and they are very much appreciated, as well as your prayers. Thank you, and God bless.
As we prepare for Easter, you are invited to pray daily prayers of biblical hope over the city of Richardson and the world, together with other members and other churches, during the 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Palm Sunday. Get your copy of the Seek God for the City Prayer Guide by emailing prayer@gcrichardson.org or by the ebook online at waymakers.org. We hope you'll join us for this powerful time of prayer.
Now, if you don't mind joining our praise team for a praise song, and after that, I will come back with a message for today. Please stay with us.
Carry the cross for my shame.
Let us begin with prayer, if you don't mind joining me. Eternal God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you so very much for not leaving us to ourselves, especially as we prepare for Easter. You remind us that you love us and that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, so that in him and in his sacrifice, in his death and resurrection, we may have life and we may have guidance, we may have all the things that we need for relationship of love and of joy with you and with one another. So help us to listen to him, the one who loves us and gave himself for us. As we go through this message, as a reminder of that, open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive and to walk a life of listening to the Word, the living Word, our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, I pray. Amen. I am reminded, friend, that this Transfiguration Sunday, and it is Transfiguration Sunday, the North Star, the core and center of the center of my life is Jesus, the one through whom I seek to understand myself and my world. I pray it is the same for you as well, because we are in the midst of divisions, uncertainties, hatreds, fears, racial and political injustice, insecurities, and challenges of our time. And who do you listen to in the midst of all of that? Who do you listen to as your primary influencer and builder of your worldview? Is it yourself? Is it popular culture and social media? Or is it astrology? Is it yourself? Is it society? Is it Satan? Or is it God? Who do you listen to? On this Transfiguration Sunday, it is vital to be reminded that the only certain, powerful, compelling, assuring, unifying, loving and transforming influencer and voice to listen to is Jesus. And we're going to look at that today. And I think it is important for all of us to ask ourselves that question. In fact, one of the things that we can do when we get up in the morning is to ask ourselves that question. Who am I going to listen to today? That's very important for our well-being and very important for the course of our relationships, very important for the choices and decisions that we make throughout the day and each day. And the writer of the Gospel of Mark reminds us of this with a narrative about the transfiguration. And this is recorded in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. So if you don't mind joining me, I'm going to read Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. And this, again, is the narrative about the transfiguration. Mark is sharing this story. In verse 2 of the 9th chapter of Mark, we read, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone." Now, for those of you who've been to Israel, you know, been to that part of the world, there are a number of mountains around. And Jesus is recorded as taking specifically Peter, James, and John to a high mountain. The mountain is not necessarily identified here by Mark. So they were there, four of them, on that mountain. There he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Verse 5, Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters or three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And in verse 6, in parenthesis, the writer says, Peter did not know what to say. They were so frightened. So Peter was just trying to fill the vacuum. He was babbling as he says this. In verse 7, "Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud." And this is what the voice said. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Verse 8. "Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus." In verse 9, "As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead." It's an interesting narrative. Very interesting. So we read here what is referred to as the transfiguration story. And transfiguration simply means a change in appearance. It's a transforming. A change in appearance that occurred with Jesus Christ. Appearance to a resplendent divine brightness. As the narrative describes, how white in verse 3. It says, Jesus, well, let's read from verse 2. It says, there he was, last part of verse 2, there Jesus was transfigured before them. And verse 3 describes what that transfiguration looked like. It says, Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them, right? And it wasn't just his clothes, as some other commentators would say. His visage was bright as well, glowed bright as well. That was the transfiguration. And Peter and James and John saw this and they were frightened. They didn't know what was going on as they saw Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus. And the point really that is important for us to remember out of this narrative is that, one, Peter in his babbling said, "It is good for us that we are here, Lord. Let's make a shelter that memorizes you, Moses, and Elijah. As soon as he said this, there was a response. And the response was not from Jesus. The response was from heaven, from a cloud. And the response was, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." It was as if there was an immediate rebuke to Peter for putting Jesus and Moses and Elijah on the same level. God in the cloud says, "No, Peter, the person you need to focus on is not Moses, i.e. the law. Moses represents the law. And it is not Elijah, i.e. the prophets, because Elijah represents the prophets here. But who? Jesus, the Son of God. He is the one that is to be focused on, and he is the one to listen to." Right? Remember, Peter, James, and John grew up in Judaism. And they grew up having their worldview shaped and directed by the law and the prophets. The primary influencer in the life of Peter, James, and John, the primary voice that they listened to was the law and the prophets. And here comes the voice from God in a cloud telling them the one to listen to is not just Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, but the Son whom I love. He is the one to listen to. And that admonition, friend, by extension, is to us as well. God's charge to Peter, James, and John is his charge to us to reorient our hearts and our minds to listen to Jesus as the ultimate authority of our lives, not the cacophony of noise and distraction and confusion that is all around us. Rather, Jesus should be the one we look up to. Jesus should be the one that we listen to. God said, "Don't put Moses and Elijah on the same level with my son. Don't put the law and the prophets as equally authoritative as my son. No, my son is the authoritative one. He is the one you should listen to." Are we listening to Jesus? Why should we listen to Jesus? That's a good question. Why Jesus? Well, I guess one very short answer would be because God says so. As we read here in Mark chapter 9 and in verse 7. God says, "Listen to the Son that I love. First of all, he is my son. Second, I love him. Third, listen." That's basically what that response from the cloud says. So why should we listen to Jesus? Well, because he's the Son of God. And not only is he just the Son of God, he's the beloved Son of God. And God says to listen to him. But why? Who is Jesus? In addition to being the Son of God, what's his credibility? Why should we listen to Jesus? Well, the writer of Hebrews provides some more. In fact, the entire scriptures point to Jesus Christ. And I don't have time to go through, beginning from Genesis through to Revelation, scripture upon scripture that points us to Jesus, because the entire written word points to the living word, Jesus Christ, as the authoritative one, as the Lord and Master, as the one whose name every knee will bow and every tongue confess. as the one whose name is above all other names, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews echoes what Mark narrates here that we just read, echoes the importance of listening to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom the Son, He, God, appointed heir of all things, and through whom the Son, He also, God, made the universe. The Son, the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, is the radiance of God's glory. And it was this glimpse of the radiance of God's glory that Peter, James, and John were privileged to see in the Transfiguration. The Son, the writer of Hebrews says, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He, the Son, had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So, what's the credibility of Jesus? Well, He is the Son, and He is an exact representation of the radiance of God. And He is the one who purifies us of our sins. And He is the one who sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, interceding on our behalf. The writer of Hebrews goes on to later make that point in chapter 4. As our high priest, what's His credibility? Well, there you have it. And it doesn't stop there. So Jesus is the exact image or representation of God's being. So He knows who God is. He is God. And He is the one who made all things, He goes on to say in verse 2. It is through Jesus that the universe is made. And so, Jesus is the one who made you, friend, and me. And our Maker is the one who is in the best position to show us, to tell us, to lead us in how to roll, so to speak, how to take, how to live. His lifestyle of love. His life of love and joy. His life of getting together, of respecting one another, of sharing the value that He places on each of us. That will be another subject for another time. The importance of recognizing the value that God places on each of us as a result of His love for us. When we have that kind of recognition, friend, then we are going to live it out in the way that we look at one another, the way that we interact with one another. We will do so in that context of valuing each other because God values us. But Jesus, that's His credibility. If you're looking for His credibility, spelled out in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In fact, the entire premise of Hebrews was to expound the credibility of Jesus over angels, over prophets, over sacrifices, over Moses and everyone else the entire creation is subject to Him. That's the entire premise of Hebrews, was to proclaim the superiority and the supremacy of Jesus over all the various sacred cows, so to speak, that some were advocating in opposition to Jesus Christ, like sacrifices and circumcision and all of those things, festivals. In Colossians chapter 1, you can read that as well, that shares about who Jesus is. Colossians chapter 1. It's a powerful scripture describing who Jesus is. The one that we should listen to. Who He is. So here is another narration of Jesus' credibility. Why you should listen to Him. Why I should listen to Him. Why He is the North Star. Why He is the core, the center of the center of everything that we are and should do. In Colossians chapter 1, and beginning from verse 15, I'm breaking into the thought here. Paul, the apostle, was sharing with the church at Colossae and around Asia Minor in those days. He says in verse 15, breaking into his thought here, again, the thrust of this passage was about Jesus and what He's done and our response to His love and His action on our behalf. In verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, "The Son is the image of the invisible God." That sounds very similar to Hebrews 1, isn't it? "The firstborn over all creation," and the word firstborn here is an appellation. It is a term of substance, or a term of description where someone is, you know. We have these terms colloquially as well. We can say, "Oh, this person is cool." When we say someone is cool, we are saying something. We're not saying that they're actually cool in temperature-wise. The firstborn is a term used to describe the position, someone who is placed on a certain pedestal. So the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." This is Jesus. You know, if as I read this, I remember S.M. Lockridge's proclamation and exclamation about Jesus, who He is. Yeah, that video has been gone around the internet many times. This is Jesus. This is His credibility. Verse 17, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy." Is that true in your life, friend? Is it true in my life that Jesus has the supremacy in everything? Verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." Again, this is no different from the writer of Hebrews saying He is the exact representation of the being of God. Verse 20, "And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." You begin to see here, friend, who Jesus is, whose credibility it is that we rely on. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. The Apostle Paul continues, but now, verse 22, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. So in Jesus Christ, we no longer are condemned, as Paul goes on or has said earlier in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, he says there is no condemnation. Here in Colossians, he says, God has reconciled you and me by Christ's physical body through death to present you and me holy in God's sight, without blemish and free from accusation or condemnation. That's what God has done. If you continue in your faith, verse 23, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And really, the word there, if, is really better understood as you continue. In other words, we do have agency in all of this. As we continue, it's a fait accompli, it's a done deal. As we continue in what Christ has done for us. In other words, what Paul is saying is there is no other avenue, there is no other way except what Christ, what God has provided through Jesus Christ. That's Jesus' credibility, friend. That's the one that we are to listen to. That's the reason why we need to listen to him. This is one of the most powerful verses for me in describing the amazing, amazing person called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm going to read some of the excerpts here again. Verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God. So if you want to see who God is, if you want to know who God is, it is through Jesus. God is invisible, but through Jesus we have his exact representation, we are told. Verse 16, for in him, Jesus, all things were created. He is the one who brought us into being, and he is the one who holds us together. Who better to listen to than that person who brought you into being and who holds you together, holds you together and brought you into being out of love, out of an outgoing concern to share with you who he is. That's the one with credibility. So here is Jesus' credibility in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 23. He deserves our ears, our minds, our hearts, our attention, and our response. We should not harden our hearts to his voice, as the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 7 and verse 10. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He deserves, he is worthy of being listened to. There's no one else that deserves being listened to than Jesus. So, how do we hear Jesus' voice? You may be asking. All right, I hear you, Pastor. I understand, Pastor. But how do I hear Jesus' voice? I want to listen to him. Where is his voice? How can I hear him? Well, these are some of the ways that we hear his voice. These are some of the ways that we listen to his voice. We hear the voice of Jesus through the written word of Jesus, the scriptures, as illuminated by His Spirit. So the written word, friend, the written word of God points us to, lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, through the Spirit. How often are you listening to the written word? How much of your time is steeped in the word of God, the written word? And how are you listening to the Spirit of God as He teaches and coaches you through the written word? The scriptures, friend, lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ. As we listen to the scriptures, as we read the scriptures, and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds, the Spirit illuminates our understanding and leads us to Jesus, the living word. That's one. Another way that we hear and listen to the voice of Jesus is through listening prayer. When we pray, prayer is not just a one-sided chant. Prayer is supposed to be a communication between us and God through Jesus and through the Spirit. And so when we pray, we should also be listening. What is the Spirit saying to us, even as we pray? The beauty, the mystery of it is, friend, we can listen with the heart of our minds, even as we pray. And Jesus speaks to us through the Spirit that way. Another way that we can hear and listen to the Son, whom God loves, and who God says we should listen to, is through the Spirit's leading of our conscience. That still small voice in our conscience. Jesus speaks to us through that still small voice of conscience. And the conscience is sensitive to the voice of Jesus as we marinate our consciences in the word of Jesus, in the written word of Jesus. When we are feeding on the written word of Jesus, we are creating a fertile ground in our conscience for that still small voice, the voice of the Spirit of Jesus, to speak. That's another way, friend, that we hear and listen to the voice of Jesus. The fourth way is through our Spirit-led life of experience, including the baby voices of creation. So as we live our identity in Christ, we live through circumstances and situations, open and closed doors, that amplifies the voice of Jesus Christ. As we seek His leadership, as we seek His will, as we say, "Not my will, but yours be done," as we go through life's experiences of making choices and decisions, we can hear the voice of Jesus in these circumstances and situations that we go through. If we are sensitive to listen, this is another way that Jesus speaks to us through the circumstances of our lives, through the experiences, the Spirit-led circumstances and experiences of our lives. And I also said that Jesus speaks to us, God speaks to us through His creation. And Calvin describes God speaking through His creation as similar to baby talk. In other words, the creation speaks about God, but not as clearly, not as crystal clear and as powerfully as the written word of God. And so Psalm 19 talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God. Creation speaks to us as well about the majesty, the love, the wisdom, the power of God. Psalm 19. And then finally, one of the ways that we hear and listen to the voice of Jesus is through the interaction, through the counsel, through the encouragement, through the prayers and support, through the koinonia of fellow believers, the community of faith. We hear the voice of God through each other. We listen to the voice of God through each other to the degree that we are living out our identity in Him through the power of His Spirit. God speaks to us through each other as well. And we affirm whether it is God speaking to us through each other as well. We discern whether it is the voice of God that we are hearing or not through the wise counsel of the community of faith, the community of believers and of the leaders of faith. So these are some of the ways that Jesus speaks to us. And He is speaking to you through these ways, friend, even now, during these days of turmoil, uncertainty, insecurities, and fears. Jesus is speaking. Are you listening? So who do you listen to during these confusing and uncertain times, friend? Especially concerning how to get along with others, how to live together in loving relationships, how to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Who do you listen to? I pray it is Jesus. God says, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to Him." Will you? I hope you do. And I hope you will join us next Sunday as we continue this journey of listening to Jesus together, to know Him and to make Him known through worship, through family fellowship, through neighborhood engagements, using the ministry avenues of hope, of faith, and of love. Amen. Now join our praise team for a concluding praise song. And by God's grace, I will see you next Sunday. God bless. I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.